Okay, welcome back. As you probably gathered from the first half hour of this program, this is no lightweight Bible program, no lightweight Bible study program anyway. And those of you that love His Word, well, you're welcome here. And those of you that are curious about His Word, and what it really means to believe in the Bible, well, you're also welcome here. We're going to go deep, because that's what this Bible study is about. We want to go deep into the Word of our Heavenly Father as it was given to us, the received text, with the tools that He has given us to dive in. And as I said, we're going to start in the book of Matthew. Let's start right now. And we can use some of these principles and some of these ideas that I've been talking about for the last half hour. Okay, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. And before we go there, if anyone has any questions, comments, or if you want to listen to this study again, you can listen to the archives for free at my website, and that is crosstheborder.org. You'll find many Bible studies there using these same principles that we've been talking about. We've gone through the scripture and covered many topics there. I mean, many topics or many books. I would suggest for everyone that you start out with the first three studies I have up there, which are Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, which gives you just a wonderful foundation in the Word of our Heavenly Father. And if you want to go on from there, which I hope to have you hooked by the time you get to Genesis, these are not lightweight Bible studies. I hope you'll find them very interesting. And I believe that if you have an interest in our Heavenly Father, if you have an interest in His kingdom, and you have an interest in the things of God, and an eternal destiny that He has planned for everyone who will, then you should be able to get hooked on those Bible studies and continue through them all. So anyway, those resources are there absolutely free, no cost to anyone to listen to those Bible studies on demand, to download them, put them on your iPod, burn them to CDs, share them, and spread them around. Crosstheborder.org is my website. You'll also find an email link there, and which I welcome you to challenge me, to share your insights, any revelation that our Heavenly Father, His Holy Spirit, has given you, if you want to share them with me so that I can share them with the listeners here, then I would be glad to receive whatever input you have for me there. So go to crosstheborder.org. Matthew, the book of Matthew, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. That's what the King James Version says. That's how it begins the book. And like I said, we're going to dive in deep here, so we're going to start tearing it apart right away. The book, of course, we get the word Bible from the Greek book, Biblos. So it is the book of the generation. And it, of course, the word generation in the Greek is also Genesis, from which they get the name for the first book of the Bible. But what we're particularly interested in here, according to the rules for interpretation that I would implement, and like I said, there'll be times when I will read through, and I will just read as it is written in the King James Version. But anyway, let me read on. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And that is chapter 1 and verse 1. And the first word we're going to mouse over in our e-sword is the name, Jesus. And if you have your King James 1611 version out, you'll see that it says Jesus. But if I mouse over it now in the Hebrew number, or the Greek number there is Greek 2424, and it does say Jesus, because that is the Greek word, Jesus, and it says of Hebrew origin. And our friend Strong, he gets it right here. We got interference. He gets it right here. He says of Hebrew origin, and he goes to the H3091, And then he says Jesus. And he says that is Yahushua. And he phonetically translates the Hebrew so that it's understandable in English. Only when he translates it phonetically correct from the Hebrew as Yahushua, well, it's fairly correct anyway. Yahushua, he spells it J-E-H-O-S-H-U-A. And of course the J's were silent, and as in hallelujah. So it would be Yahushua. It would be fairly correct at the time that he translated it phonetically. Of course, the English language has changed quite a bit since our good friend did the Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionaries and concordance here. But if we go to, because he refers to, of Hebrew origin, and he puts in there H3091, so I got my little Strong window open here, and I'm going to type in here H, what was that now, 3091? Yes, H3091. And up pops, it says here, Yahu Shabbath. And that's got the wrong number there. I put in 3090 and it's 3091. That didn't look right there. There it is. Yahushua. That's what it says. Of course, it has the Greek, and then it has a pronunciation, and then he has a phonetic pronunciation of the name, and it says Yahushua. It's spelled Y-E-H, and he has dash H-O dash S-H-O-O to get the shu and the ah at the end spelled A-H. So it's Yahushua, and that is the phonetic pronunciation of the name of what we call in the West Jesus. His name is Yahushua. And what does Yahushua mean? It means Yahuwah saved. Yahuwah saved. That's what our good friend Strong's tells us in his Strong's Concordance. He says from the Hebrew 3068 and the Hebrew 3467, and that would be Yahuwah, the 3068. And of course, the 3467 would be their word for salvation or saved. And that's what his name means. Yahushua means Yahuwah saved, which is the name of the Creator with the suffix for salvation added to it. So what does the name of Yahushua mean? It means that our Creator, his name, our Creator, is our salvation. Yahushua means our Creator, by name, is our salvation. And when the Scripture says that he was given a name above every other name, that name was not Jesus. It was Yahushua, because it's the name of our Creator and the exclamation with the suffix that he is our salvation. So he was given the name of the Creator, Yahushua, the name above all names. And his name is above all names because we are saved by him. And there is no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. And that is referring to his name, not the translation of his name. Though the translation of his name, if you say Jesus, it can refer to him. But the name Jesus does not always refer to him, because there are many false Jesuses out there. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, Yahushua, our Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And that's really, the first verse is really the title of the book, because it was penned by Matthew. Of course, it has the Gospel of Matthew. But he says the Biblos, the book of the generation. And perhaps that's just referring to the first chapter here, because the first chapter is a genealogy. And so we're going to jump into the genealogy. We don't want to pass up anything here. And I think we can learn a few things out of this genealogy. Chapter 1, verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat fairies. Now the name Judah, and being translated here in the Greek to Judas, was actually what would be translated Judah by anyone today. And the name here is properly in the Hebrew, and if you go to the Hebrew 3063, you'll find that it is Yahudah. And they were the people called by his name, so they were called the Yahudim. Because, well, let's do that. Let's go to 3063 and take a look at it. We're going to learn something just by the names here. 3063, Yahudah. And remember, Yahuwah is the name of our Creator. The name of his son was Yahushua, which is the name of our Creator with a suffix that means salvation. So the name of our Savior is Yahushua, or our Creator saves us, or we are saved by our Creator and by his name. And we see the name here, Yahudah, which is translated here Judas, or would be translated in other places as Judah, in the original language, phonetically translated, would be Yahudah, which is the name of our Creator, and it means to praise or celebrate. Here he has celebrate. Yahudah, celebrated, to celebrate his name, or to praise his name, is what the name Yahudah means, or Judah. And so we'll read it as it's written here, given to us in the with understanding. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And, you know, I mean, we could go through every name. And, of course, Jacob is Yaakov, which, you know, the name Yah is in there, as you see. And I don't know what the name Isaac means. Oh, well, I should know what it means. And, well, let's look at it, the name Isaac. It means Isaac, the son of Abraham, and it doesn't give us a meaning, so don't know what it means. So let's move on to verse 3. And Judas begat Phares, and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat, and of course Tamar is a woman mentioned in, and who was Tamar? Was not Tamar, she was the one that helped the children of Israel in their conquest of the city of, see, now I should have looked that up. Yeah, we'll look it up later. But anyway, one of the women that, she helped the Hebrew spies, there you go, to escape. I remember that much about her. She lied to the authorities. That's what she did. And she got herself into the lineage of Christ. So, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begot Esrom, and Esrom begot Aram, and Aram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshan, and Nahshan begat Salmon. Verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, another woman mentioned in the genealogy. And if you know the story of the kinsman redeemer, well, we have that of Boaz and Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Now, what is the purpose of giving the genealogy here? And we're not done with it yet, but it's nice to break it up, because most people go, they'll open up the book of Matthew, and they'll start they'll get through them begats as fast as they can because they don't mean anything to them. Well, there's a lot of meaning in there, but the importance of the genealogies is the seed that was promised to Adam and Eve, the seed of the Messiah, the Redeemer of mankind. Because what happened to Adam and Eve is they lost their standing. They lost their standing. They lost their lives. In the day that they ate that fruit, they received a death sentence. And, of course, they repented. They were sorry for their sin. And they went on to live a life of obedience. It doesn't mean, it means that they were much like we are. Except they were the first man and woman. And they lived a lot longer. I believe that Adam and Eve's, or at least Adam's mentality, capacity, intellectual capacity, far exceeded what we're able to today, because he was created perfect, a man, by our Heavenly Father, with a brain capacity of which it is said that we only use perhaps 10%. Now, there are geniuses out there in walking amongst us, and we've had geniuses throughout history, and these are people that perhaps use 20% of their brain capacity. Now, I know I have a lot of brain capacity that I'm not able to use because I struggle with it. I would like to be able to recall everything that I've ever learned. That would be wonderful. I'd like to have it all at my fingertips. But we don't have that today, and perhaps it's for our own good that our Heavenly Father has put limitations on the abilities that he gave man when he created him. So we have a diminished capacity, but that's why I say intellectually superior. That's what Adam was. If he had anything near 100% brain use capacity, and I can't believe that our Heavenly Father created this man, Adam, and did not give him 100% brain capacity usage. And I believe that's demonstrated briefly, almost unnoticeably in the scripture. Because, you know, I read the Bible, I read the Word of God for years, and I didn't notice a lot of things that I'm noticing now. And I give thanks to our Heavenly Father, to the imparting of His Holy Spirit to open my eyes, to help me to see things that I can't see, to calling me to this teaching ministry, and so that I can humbly, teach and receive, whatever revelation and whatever insight that he can give me that I can share with you out there. And the truth is, it seems like he gives me more insight and more revelation that I can really take in at the moment. Because the truth is, when I go back and I re-listen to some of these studies, I learn things, or a lot of things are reinforced that I didn't notice when I was exercising my gift here. And like I said, I humbly say it's him. It's from him. And I give all the credit to him, because I can't take any credit for the work that he has given me to do, because he's in total charge. He can move my lips. He can make my brain work in such a way that even I'm blessed. And sometimes I receive revelation while I'm just sitting here doing this. It ain't like I get it all first, get it all together, and then I organize it and bring it to you. Oh no, it doesn't work that way. Not for me. I just pretty much have to wing it here most of the time. Sometimes I will spend hours, and I do. I spend a lot of time studying. I spent a lot of time this last summer studying into some of the things that I've shared with you today, as you've seen. And even that, for me to recall it all, is, like I said, I have that diminished brain capacity. I hope I'm using 10%. I have no idea. But if I have 10 times brain capacity beyond what I'm using, I'll tell you, that's a lot of brain capacity. So anyway, I see that Adam, by the things that he said and by the tasks that he took on, because he could have easily named all the animals in one day, in a few hours, because the Heavenly Father could have said, the brain capacity, the declaration for this cause. And there had been no children, no men and women getting married, but he was brought a wife, and he made that declaration that stands to this day for this cause. Even the Messiah quoted him, Yahshua, our Heavenly Father, became flesh, became a man, and he quotes Adam, this intellectually, superior man. I'm sure intellectually superior to any man that has ever walked after him. I'm certain of it. So the necessity of the genealogies is to getting back. I got carried off on a little rabbit trail there, as my pastor called them. He would always get caught off on these little side trails, but there was so much to be gleaned from those. And I believe that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and kind of takes over and gives us a little more insight, because all of these things are related. The first sacrificial event, that's the reason for the genealogies. Adam and Eve, of course, they sinned. They disobeyed God. They committed a theft. They did what they were told not to do. And so their sin was theft. Their sin was disobedience. They stole what didn't belong to them. You know, the Heavenly Father, when He created, said, "Everything is yours, except this is mine. Don't take it. Because the day that you take it, you will surely die." That's the way we have it in the King James translation. So we're going to pick up there after we get back from the break. We're going to pick up with, "In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." And we'll find out what that has to do with the genealogies in Matthew. I'll be back in a few minutes.